Okay.
Questions first, please. Yeah. All-star game hey, questions.
What other questions we got?
Hey, DeMarcus, can you kind of sum up your all-star experience? And,
oh, really?
Can you?
That's what I... Yeah.
Can you sum up your all-star experience, what it was like for all the great players?
It was amazing, man. I enjoyed the city of New Orleans, you know. I love it here in New Orleans.
I love it here in New Orleans. You know how I have intro quotes to Almighty Baller, or Almighty Ballin' NBA show?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was my intro music, and that was my intro quote, you know? This is Almighty Ballin' NBA show, but also the King's Court?
Kinda, yeah, I mean, this is like part two. Me and Joe, my co-host, just did a pod that's now already published called DeMarcus Cousins, all exclamation points, has been traded. Point, episode 66. This could be episode 66 and a half, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I had an episode earlier in the night. It was Boogie Cousins emergency trade pod. Boogie or Pelicast wins the night. Because that's, I guess, the thing that is a New Orleans Pelicans thing. It's like Pelicans win the night. You know what I'm talking about right now?
Pelicans win the weekend.
Yeah, apparently so. So yeah, this is a second podcast for me, but the first podcast, since I wanted to, you know, talk to you about the rest of the trade, the first podcast was breaking it down from the Pelicans' perspective. Now we're talking about it from the Kings' perspective, and that's why I have AlmightyBaller.com's Vince Miracle on it, the host of The King's Court. It's our Sacramento Kings podcast. The first person I called when I wanted to talk to or talk about Kings and DeMarcus Cousins, the New Orleans Pelican center, DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, that's a real thing. Three-time All-Star and now New Orleans Pelican center.
How did the
DeMarcus Cousins?
Okay, so how did this happen? What's your understanding of the events as they unfold?
So from what I've read, just like most of you, but then also from those who I've been talking to, there was a huge question mark on if DeMarcus Cousins can really lead this team to being having the ability to take that next step, to get them over that hump of that decade long slump of not making the playoffs, which they're only a game and a half out of right now. But then also, are they willing to give him the keys again on a $200 million-plus deal at the end of this year? And I what really, I think, drew a big question mark for them is they got two significant wins while DeMarcus Cousins was either on the bench or not playing at all, one being the Boston Celtics win and the other being the Atlanta Hawks. So that drew even more question marks on, hey, do we really need this guy? Is it just time for a change of culture? Which, you know, for me, and this is just my thoughts on it all, was I was okay with the team trading DeMarcus Cousins. I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think it was plausible because of the collective bargaining agreement and what has been offered to them. I mean, what made this trade even worse was the Ramona Shelburne tweet. Have you seen that, Chris?
Yeah. Well, there were so many tweets. It's hard to like put it all together. But was the Ramona Shelburne tweet the one that said that they had almost traded a similar deal to the Sixers?
It was the same deal to the Sixers for Jahlil Okafor.
I thought it was without Buddy Hield.
And I just, that's all I was, that they had the same deal ready for Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah, well, that
makes the trade even worse for me. That makes the trade even worse for me.
Well, that's and then the thing. That's the thing, right? Is that like, I understand. I absolutely do. I understand going in a different direction if you're the Sacramento Kings. I understand having questions about whether or not Boogie is going to be on a good Sacramento Kings roster. Not even a contending one, just like a good one. Not even a good one, just one that barely makes the playoffs. I understand all of that. It's just like, it seems like 40 minutes before this happened, I saw a tweet from someone that said 40 minutes before this happened, Boogie was assured that this wouldn't happen. And it seems like that's what everyone thought up until a couple of hours before the All-Star game started, when we see a Woj tweet that I didn't take all that seriously, that the Pelicans were discussing a Boogie trade. And then I apparently should have taken it more seriously. So I guess, like, what happened I mean, after being sure and after saying, like, over and over, like, we're going with Boogie, we're going to give him this contract, like, after everything from Sacramento seeming like it was, okay, we're pro Boogie and we want to move forward with him, what changed in the course of a day, an hour? I don't know.
No, it wasn't even that. It was, they have been talking through with teams ever since. I mean, I honestly, they're going to say they weren't taking any trade talks. I think they've been taking it all year long, to be honest with you. But, like, really hampering down and listening to these calls and exploring options, that happened as soon as he got that 16th pick.
Yeah.
That suspension. I mean, he's the very first player to ever get suspended and reach 16 technicals before the All-Star break.
Well, yeah, and you know, the craziest thing I think about that, and I haven't explained this to my listeners, and I'm not sure if you had done this either, is that he was in discussions actively with the referees union, talking about the way that they call technicals on him, the way that they call fouls on him, things that he didn't like, things that they didn't like, and they were actually going through all of his prior technicals and deciding, okay, this one's fair, this one isn't. We're going to stay with this one, and this one we're going to expunge from the record. But since he got that 16th technical, what he did was he forced the referees union's hand and the league's hands by saying, okay, now that I'm supposed to be suspended for this upcoming Boston game, we can't retroactively change all of the technicals that brought us to this point, because, like, the Boston would get upset and be like, wait, why can you do this now? Why is it okay that, you know, he's not suspended for this game? So it was such horrible timing to pick up two technicals in one game, two weird, like, kind of silly technicals in one game. So anyways, am I right in that breakdown?
No, you're 100% right. And he took away that ability, like you said. As soon as he got both those technicals, they could have looked back and rescinded one or three down the way. And, you know, I talked about it, I believe, they talked about it on their own show with the CSN Kings insider James Hamm, about how he could have got those things rescinded. And now he took that ability away because he got back-to-back, and now you have to be suspended. And so now they're not going to clear that up by saying, oh, no, this one on this date should be rescinded, because you've taken that ability out of their hands. They could have done that under the table, kind of like they've done with the Russell Westbrook deal. For those who don't know, Russell Westbrook can sign that max deal like any other player that's a free agent this year, which is a really big benefit to them because of the collective bargaining agreement and whatnot. But they could have done something like that, right? Or they could have taken ones from beginning of the year, taken away because they weren't really technicals. But you took that away, and now you had to have this team play without you, and somehow they beat the Boston Celtics. Somehow they came back and beat the Atlanta Hawks, although he made a big three-pointer to get that win. So I don't know. The only thing I can say about this deal is it was dumb. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This was a terrible deal for the Sacramento Kings. This was a huge win for the New Orleans Pelicans. That's my only instant reaction. I've gone down – we can go down each player, how it benefits the team in some type of way. But now with three players coming back, they have to waive somebody. I'm expecting it to be Mac Barnes. Matt Barnes.
Matt Barnes?
No, waive him.
Give Max contract for Matt Barnes.
Waive Matt Barnes.
Yeah. So what I wanted to discuss with you, and again, like, this isn't I agree. I think the trade was
garbage.
Was trash. And if it's really true that they've been talking to teams about moving Boogie for as long as you think that they have, which is since that 16th technical, then
I know.
Well, I mean, the trade's bad, not because they decided to move away from Boogie. Like, there's a world where I wake up or I'm in the middle of recording a podcast about the All-Star game, and all of a sudden I get a notification saying, hey, Boogie's been traded, by the way. There's a world where I look into that notification and it's like, well, the Kings got Jaylen Brown and two Brooklyn picks and, you know, Tyler Zeller or something like a better return on their value. That's what has me stuck. That's what has me bamboozled and mind boggled, is that they couldn't get a better return on their value, because the intrinsic move of like, okay, we should go away from Boogie because this isn't working. I mean, that's not entirely wrong.
All I know is that the offers were slim pickings right now. Boston's too focused on trying to acquire Jimmy Butler. The Los Angeles Lakers weren't ready to give up Brandon Ingram, and honestly, I understand why. I really like Brandon Ingram, but it's DeMarcus Cousins, so that was probably a dumb decision by the Lakers as well. All I can say is that it's understandable why teams don't want to rush after this guy, but I've said it countless times. DeMarcus Cousins is a franchise-changing talent. Whether it's good or bad, he's franchise-changing. And he is a top seven player in the NBA right now. He's the number one center in the league right now. Now you're going to see him matched up or paired up every single night
with Anthony Davis. With the other number one center in the league.
It's ridiculous. I'd say he's a power forward. I mean, that's the thing. Like, everyone says Anthony Davis is a power forward. DeMarcus Cousins is a center. Those two are literally the exact duo that, like, on paper, they're exactly the greatest pairing that I've probably seen in a long time. Yeah,
that's the thing, right? Is like, you could say that Anthony Davis is a power forward, you can say that he's a center, and you can say that Boogie's a power forward, or you can say that he's a center. But, like, as far as two big men next to each other, like, I mean, if this isn't the best two-man big man, like, true big man, and that's something that we talked a lot about, is, like, these are, like, real big men.
I really wonder if, I mean, this is, like, I just thought about this right now. Is Alvin Gentry, I would love to talk to one of these guys, is Alvin Gentry the coach that should run that team, though?
Dude,
I mean, I don't think Alvin Gentry is that good of
Vince,
a coach.
You were invited to the podcast, so you could have asked Kumar, the host of AlmightyBaller.com. That's
I had to get information. I had to get information, though.
Oh no, like you're good. I mean, we're having this conversation now. But what I mean, like, that's something that we brought up. That's something that we discussed. The thing is, you know, the Pelicans might end up making the 8th seed now, which would be a fascinating playoff matchup, 1-8 for the Warriors. But they also might not. I mean, there's like two things that I think are going to happen. Like, either they'll make the playoffs as the 8th seed and find out in that first round matchup whether or not Alvin Gentry is the guy who you want to be coaching this team long term. Not based on like, okay, do we beat the Warriors or not, but like based on whether or not he performs right as a coach, or they won't make the playoffs and they'll find out over the course of these last 30 games that he's not the guy. But like they have some games to see what that looks like, and you know, I think the answer is probably no, he's not the coach. But like, I think that coaches, I think they'll be lining up to coach this caliber.
Ring, ring, John Calipari.
That's another discussion.
I'm just saying.
What do you think about that? I mean, like, that's an interesting choice just because, like, Calipari, he didn't work in his first go-around, I think, because he just wasn't a good NBA coach because he was a little too rough, like, a little too hard on his players. I think maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing for a team with Boogie. Like, you know, maybe Calipari, like, in some capacity demands Boogie's respect. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, honestly, I think that if I mean, Calipari, we all know his first run wasn't that great in the NBA, right? But he's also said he's not coming back. He would think about coming back if it was the right situation and the right team.
Is this the right team?
I think it is. I honestly do. Especially if they can find a way, and I know they're going to find a way because the Pelicans are smarter than the Kings right now because they're able to make this deal. So Dell Demps went from being one of the terrible GMs to now the best GM. One of the best GMs.
Yeah.
To the fact that he pulled this deal off. So if they can find a way to keep Jrue Holiday, I mean, why not?
Well, but why, they can, why not? Right? Like, I mean, they all that has to happen is Jrue has to say, I'll come back. And
I'll take a pay cut.
Well, even if he doesn't, I mean, like, that still works, right? They have his bird rights. They have his Pelican rights.
They have to trade away Terrence Jones. I think they have to still find a way to get rid of either, Oshik or Agencia, but yeah.
I mean, like,
Ajinka. Yeah, I would pronounce the name.
I just feel like, you know, it's like when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors this offseason. Like, someone will grease the wheels to that. You just have to give up an asset or something. And like, if I'm the Pelicans, it's an interesting question. Like, okay, do we want that asset to be Tim Frazier? Do we want it to be a pick? Can we screw over another team and, like, I don't know, convince the Suns that they need Omer Asik to start at center, and then maybe, like, they'll take him for another asset or something like that. You know, like,
I wanna know if Dell Demps called, like, Danny Ainge and was like, hey, what tips do you have on trying to get, like, mess over deals on people? Like have you heard, like, what can I do to get DeMarcus Cousins, do you think? Like, should I just offer them, like, a farm of talent, but really it's not really that good of talent? They're gonna think it's that good of talent.
Well,
he's
so,
like, yep,
okay,
exactly that.
That's another interesting question, because, like, it's my understanding, like, looking at the aftermath of all of this, that the Kings, well, okay, so we have to start somewhere else, right? I think that the last couple of days, you know, if the Kings have been trading around the front off or calling around the front offices and saying, like, what interest do you have in Boogie, right? You would hope that they called 30 or 29 different NBA teams, right? Like, you would hope that they did their homework, I guess, before they pulled the trigger on a trade for their franchise player. But, you know, who knows, right? And let's assume that they did, though, and let's assume that out of all of the different teams that they were on the phone with, the best offer was actually Buddy Hield in a first round pick. Do you think that's possible, or did they just think that was the best offer?
No, I think that they think that was the best offer as of right now. And I from what I've read from a good friend of the show is that Vivek Ranadive was a huge component of making this decision. And that makes it even worse, because I'm done with these bad decisions.
I've heard that Andre Drummond was on the table for Boogie.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if it was. But here's the thing, is that they were probably asking for Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson, and a first.
Yeah, but, like,
and they weren't getting that.
Why take Buddy Hield in a first over Andre Drummond?
And it's a protected top three pick. So even if they really wanted to, I know they're not going to do this because they have DeMarcus Cousins, but if they absolutely wanted to and they knew they couldn't afford Jrue Holiday, they can literally tank the rest of the year, have DeMarcus Cousins, re-sign him, have a top three pick, and get Lonzo Ball. Like, God.
Yeah.
The Kings are the Kangs, man. The Kangs.
How nuts would it be, though, if, like, they just barely missed the playoffs, but lottery odds just, like, gave them the first, second, or third pick? Because, I mean, there's a chance.
I mean, there's always a chance. They finish 10th, and then they somehow get the lottery ball that lands just, like, top three. And for some reason, Fultz rolls his ankle and falls the three. And now they have, like, a James Harden type of point guard.
I mean, the thing is, Josh Jackson would be a great fit. I mean, like you said, Lonzo Ball would be a really good fit.
De'Aaron Fox would be an amazing fit.
Malik Monk would be basically, like, replacing
Buddy Hield.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, Jonathan Isaac, are you kidding me? You know, like, I like Jonathan Isaac, so...
I'll tell you this right now. Every Sacramento Kings fan that's listening to this show, you guys better be locked into March Madness, because that's what you're praying for, that the Kings are watching the same thing you are. Well, not all of you, because I've seen you guys write some crazy stuff, including myself, but hopefully the Kings are smart this year, although their draft history doesn't show it. Thomas Robinson, Jimmer Fredette, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Scalabiciere. Yorgos Papayannis.
I think Scal might be okay.
But they made him the last pick in the first round.
Right.
They made Yorgos Papayannis over Malachi Richardson, who was in the first round.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about this. Like,
we did.
I mean, like, by itself, it maybe makes sense. Like, you know, if you look at all of the picks they had before and the players they ended up with, you're like, okay, well, you know, they picked Scal at, like, 20th or whatever they picked him at, and they, you know, picked this guy and this guy and this guy. But, you know, I think last year's draft was, like, another example of a Sacramento Kings draft nightmare gone wrong. And, you know, honestly, what I would hope if I was a Kings fan is that this top 10, this lottery, is just so talented that you can't miss.
I don't know. The Kings find a way to miss.
Yeah.
You had Klay Thompson. Instead, you chose Jimmer Fredette. Well, you had Klay Thompson there. You had Kawhi Leonard. Damian Lillard, and you chose Thomas Robinson.
Yeah. I mean, like, those aren't as insane, I think, as the Papayannis pick, honestly, though.
But what was Papayannis before? Like, you could have had Denzel Valentine, who's good but not, like, great yet. He's also had, like, knee injuries.
But again, it's just, like the logic, though, right? I mean, like,
yeah, no. I get it.
Yeah. I mean, like,
it's just,
yeah. I mean,
the Kings are bad at drafting. Well, let's just sum it up in that one sentence. Kings are terrible at drafting, and yet they're like, hey, let's practice drafting by giving away our best player. And here's another thing that doesn't make any sense, and I don't know if you talked about it on that show, talking about the Pelicans at all, like when you were looking at the Kings, but it's not like this team was trying to get expiring deals just to get expiring deals. If you look at the roster, and we've talked about this before, Chris, they had the players that clear up cap space. They had buyout deals with guaranteed money for Aaron Aflalo, Anthony Tolliver. None of their point guards are locked in for next year. Ben McLemore is a restricted free agent. You got Omri Caspi, who's an unrestricted free agent.
I thought he was part of the trade.
Omri Caspi is a part of the trade. I'm just saying, as a whole, they didn't need to get rid of these players because for cap space and for this youth movement, because they could have still done this youth movement or whatever during the offseason by like just signing these guys or signing players to make this team better. On top of that, they're only 1.5 games out of the 8th seed right now. You see what Dave Joerger is doing. He's not playing his young guys. Willie Cauley-Stein is sometimes getting 20 minutes, sometimes getting 8 minutes. It kind of completely varies. Malachi Richardson is either receiving 7 minutes in the first half, no minutes in the second, or 7 minutes in the first half. And if he played really well, and he plays 7 minutes in the second, or now he's out for 4 to 6 weeks, and I'm guaranteeing you this, guys, he's not coming back. He's not coming back for this year. He's on the bench. And now because they require 3 players, the Kings have to waive somebody. I guarantee you – take that back. I've seen that. I probably expect it to be Matt Barnes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I feel like it
– that's Dave Joerger's favorite player.
I feel like the way of defending – I feel like if they don't sign Matt Barnes – or if they don't waive Matt Barnes – it's sort of like, God, for their explanation, for the Kings' explanation of this trade, it's like, well, we needed to save our culture, and we went out and we got a guy, Buddy Hield, great culture guy, teammates love him, smiles all the time, you know, handsome, I like his hair, that's me personally, but I assume that a lot of people like his hair. So we go get him, and he's going to be our star of the future, and he's going to be likable, and specifically, Sacramento Kings fans are going to like him. So if you're trying to, like, improve the culture, fair, fine. But, like, if you keep Matt Barnes after that, then, like, what are you doing? And honestly, if you keep Darren Collison, I've heard that, or I've seen, rather, on Twitter, that the Kings are still on the phone, like, still, you know, moving around pieces and stuff. Do you feel like Darren Collison is maybe the next shoe to drop?
Yes. Yes.
Is this something you talked about on your pod?
I just said that all I'm going to say is that I know things are moving. They're still on the phones right now. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
But off of that, I can expect it to be Darren Collison. I can expect a lot of people looking at Ben McLemore a little bit more and saying, hey, he's a restricted free agent next this upcoming summer. He's starting to knock down the ball. They just got Buddy Hield. Let's see what I can get for him. That's an interesting piece. That's an interesting add-on if you wanted to get a guy like Darren Collison. It wouldn't surprise me if the Cavs try to get him at all.
Yeah.
They can use a backup. So the Cavs are going to be a team that's interested in a guy like Darren Collison. But again, if they get rid of Collison, it's all on Ty Lawson's shoulders. And then
rid of Ty Lawson too if you're trying to change the culture?
No, because you need a point guard. Who are you going to get? You going to just call Tony Douglas off waivers and be like, hey, come on over?
Well, I mean, you trade for a point guard, right?
But who – I mean, why? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're having two top 10 or top 14 picks. You're going to be in the lottery with these two picks. And which another thing we're not talking about is the fact that because now that they're tanking, which they're obviously tanking, you can't tank worse than Philly, because if, let's say, for some however reason, the Kings get the third or fourth pick in this draft with their pick, but Philly picks fifth. Let's say that they get the fourth pick and the Philly picks fifth, right? Philly has the swap rights. Philly can still swap that. Say, nope, you're still picking five, bro. You're not getting that pick.
Sam Hinkie right now has got to be
on the phone
in a Starbucks,
Lottie,
chuckling. I guess the point I was making is, first, in the Kings' mind, if your argument is we can't be good until we change the culture, I'm starting to think, okay, Matt Barnes should go, whether by waiver or by trade. Collison should go. I'm sure a lot of you Sacramento listeners right now know that he had a domestic violence dispute recently that he pleaded guilty or at least no contest to. Ty Lawson, of course, DUI arrest, I think
multiple
DUI. Yeah, I mean, like, if I'm the Kings and my logic, whether it's good or not, is, okay, we can't start on the road to being a good organization until we have good guys in the locker room, then how do you justify moving the most talented quote-unquote bad dude and keeping these other bad dudes, quote-unquote bad dudes?
I mean, DC is not necessarily a bad dude. I think he's one of the better pieces in the locker room.
He's
admitted he made a mistake. His family is, like, they're all about getting better and working together.
Darren Collison.
Yeah, DC. He's a great guy. Like, that locker room loves him. He speaks highly about everyone that's in there. He gets nothing but praise from his teammates. He knows he made a mistake over the summer. He stayed quiet about it and humbled about it. And he admitted that it was a mistake that he made. He took counseling for it. Other than that one time, he has been a model citizen in the NBA and no matter where he's been. So I'm not holding anything against him. But guys, and honestly, right now, as of today, on who's on the floor, he's the best player on this team. Those who play fantasy, if he's somehow on your waiver wire, stop everything you're doing other than listening to this podcast and go pick him up, because you need to have him on your team. He's about to be on fire. I think you trade those guys away and you're just saying, Tyreek, welcome back. You're the point guard. 25-5. Go get it.
Yeah.
That's another ridiculous. I mean, I'll say this, though. You called this type of deal, but you called it for Rudy Gay, not DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah,
that speaks even more volume to this deal.
Yeah, it's not a good trade.
A terrible trade.
I just, like, you know, and it's interesting to me because it brings questions into mind with me as far as whether, you know, we've gotten a lot of reports from or about the Sacramento Kings front office about, you know, there was that one basically meme report that they didn't realize that you had to call the front office and let them know that you finalized
that's
a trade.
True. That's true. They didn't know that.
And that, like, you
the
know,
4-on-5 basketball is true.
And Vlade tried to make trades that you couldn't make because of salary cap rules that he didn't know. So, you know, we've heard reports like that. So what I'm genuinely curious about, and it'll be interesting 10 or 15 years from now when we get the tell-all book, you know, My Days in Sacramento, like, by Peja or whatever. What I'm curious about is, like, did they do their due diligence that I was talking about earlier? What do you think? Do you think that they talked to 29 other teams before pulling the trigger?
No.
Okay.
I think that they believed a lot of the reporting that came out. I think they bought into it, a lot of the reporting that was coming out from Woj. And I think that after hearing everybody that they – I think that there was a small few that they knew that were interested in DeMarcus. And then they looked at it and said, you know what? This gives me Buddy Hield, who they believe is a top five draft pick in this year's draft, who's going to be really, really good. And then we get Tyreek back, Langston Galloway, and we get to really start over a new culture with this youth movement, with this brand new head coach in Dave Yeager, who really gets to run, and we can mold whatever he wants. And we can get to that conversation in a second, because I have a feeling Dave Yeager is not too happy right now. And we kind of sprinkled that in there in our previous conversation. But no, I don't think they called the 29 other teams. I think what they did was they believed a lot of the reporting, and they got tired of this whole back and forth. And because of the report of like Vivek having to steer the ship on this decision, I really feel like it got to the point where they're like, you know what? This is the best we got. This is literally the best we got. You make the decision on it all. And that still makes me question Vladi as the GM, which I've always questioned before, but you kind of started hoping to believe in it or whatever in Sacramento. Like, a lot of people love Vladi Divac, but after this one, I think you have, I don't even know. There was already a split in the front office between the ownership groups, like the majority owner and the rest of the minority owners. I think you're going to see a split even more again. So this was big, really big.
Yeah. I mean, there's been trades that have been disastrous or reported as disastrous or people have interpreted as disastrous thus far in the course of this iteration of the Sacramento Kings front office. The Stauskas trade comes to mind. As far as general moves, some of their draft picks we talked about earlier. But this one takes the cake, right?
This trade is by far the worst trade they've probably made in franchise history.
It's I think it might be one of the worst trades in NBA history. Modern NBA history. I mean, front offices aren't supposed to be like this.
I mean, even with I'm looking at it from just the perspective of, where did you see this being a game? I get you wanted to move to Marcus Cousins. We, like you said in the beginning of the show, like we've said countless times, we understand moving to Marcus Cousins and creating a culture change. But you have to get something back in return that goes, okay, we can start building something from this. The only player you got that you can say that to is Buddy Hield and a first-round draft pick in 2017 and a second-round draft pick in 2017. That 2019 first-round draft pick that was first reported isn't even on the deal anymore. New Orleans gets to keep their 2019 first-round pick. So that means the Kings don't even have a first-round pick in 2019 still. So now you're really building around, and I wrote this just a few minutes ago. You have, for the next season, and let's just assume, you know, everyone does what they're, you know, expected to do, although everything's nothing to expect here in Sacramento anymore. But your key players that you have are the rookies, right? Malachi, Scal, Yorgos Papayannis. Those three are for sure staying. Then you're expecting Matt Barnes to be waived, so you really are, and you're expecting Anthony Tolliver and Aaron Aflalo to be bought out with their guaranteed contracts. So then you're going to have Garrett Temple and Kosta Koufos with Willie Cauley-Stein. So you have six players under contract, and that's it. And then you have Bogdan Bogdanovic coming overseas. So seven players. So you need to fill eight players, whether in the draft and in free agency, with money. But now you've just ruined your opportunity to get a lot of these players, because like everyone is reporting right now, which is to be expected, is that agents and other GMs do not trust the Sacramento Kings and what they say they're going to do. Why? Because you'll say something face-to-face with you publicly, but then behind closed doors do something completely opposite that makes absolutely no sense. A player does not want to be a part of that. Rudy Gay has come out publicly and said that he does not want to be a part of that because that's what they did to him. They're now doing it to DeMarcus Cousins. It's not like this happened one time. It's happened countless times now. No one trusts you. You're making a joke of yourself by doing this deal. So where did they get the benefit? Absolutely nowhere. Kings fans have to literally pray and hope that they can make the right pick this year.
Yeah. So let's all right. So what has happened has happened. I wouldn't say let's let bygones be bygones. Sacramento.
I really wish the Kings played the Pelicans sometimes after this or during the season. They're done. They've already played them all throughout the year. Yeah. They don't play them at all this season. Sucks.
Do you think that if that next season when Boogie returns to Sacramento, he'll get cheered or booed?
It will get a standing ovation, and people will literally throw flowers onto the floor.
Yeah, I think so too.
There's no way he's mad. Our fans are mad. Literally, fans are literally mad at Vivek, mad at Vladi. DeMarcus Cousins, whether you love him or hate him as a talent on the floor, he is loved in Sacramento. for the things that he's done charitably wise, and because of the type of person that he really is when he's not acting, you know, immature. He's loved in Sacramento, but it was a 60-40 split on whether or not – I don't even say – yeah, 60-40 split on whether or not the fans really wanted him to be moved. I think if he would have been moved for the right pieces or at the right price, fans would have been okay. But because they got this type of return, makes everybody angry and scratching their heads of what the heck are they doing. Because now you have a brand new arena, brand new head coach.
Brand new Buddy Hield.
Cool. What has he shown this year? He can be inconsistent? That's cool. He's going to be Eric Gordon.
He was a three-point champ. I think that's maybe a little high.
Is that a compliment?
I mean, yeah. Eric Gordon just won the three-point contest. I mean,
hopefully he's not Jimmy Fredette, although Jimmy Fredette just scored 73 points in a China game today.
Yeah, I think he's going to be like
Evan Fournier? No, that's too nice.
No, I don't like maybe like Etuan Moore without the defense.
No, because he won't have that ball handling ability like Etuan Moore has. Etuan Moore can at least tack the basket. I think that's too nice.
Well, I think coming into the league, and honestly, like if this comp ends up being spot on as far as like where his career goes from here, I'm maybe not as devastated, but I could see his comparison was JJ Redick, right? You know,
he's not going to be JJ Redick, though. We all know he's not going to be JJ Redick.
Well, we didn't think that JJ Redick was going to be JJ Redick either.
We know Buddy Hield's not going to be JJ Redick. With the Sacramento, the development. You got to think of how he's going to develop and the Sacramento Kings' history of developing players. He's not being no JJ Redick.
Yeah, well, maybe he could be JJ Redick for a different team or something.
Maybe. No, he will. When he turns 28 years old, he'll be JJ Redick for a different team.
So let's look at for a second, first I got to say I'm looking at NBA.com/King/roster, and DeMarcus Cousins /center number 15 is still here. I was looking at the homepage earlier. A lot of
trade's not official yet. That's why.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know. It still feels weird. But anyways, looking at what this roster stands to be, it's just skipping people. Like, I don't want to talk about Kostas Koufos. Or honestly,
why? He's the starting center.
Well, because like if this is a rebuild, you know, and I think that if you trade Boogie for a bunch of crap, then like it's a rebuild, then. Let's look at, like, assets, you know? People who will either end up being value or people that will end up developing. So, honestly, you know, Darren Collison is in the conversation because, like, I think that you could get some value. You could, if you were a good franchise, get some good asset back.
He's the best player on the team. Agreed.
Well, I mean, Rudy Gay might be the best player on the team, but you're just not going to get anything.
I'm playing right now. And he has a player option. There's nothing you can get for him.
I think Garrett Temple, you could get like a second round pick, maybe.
They won't get rid of him.
What?
They won't get rid of him, though.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree. But I mean, we're taking stock, right? So, Garrett Temple.
I know. I'm just going to go down every single player with you. Every time you say a name, like, yep, trade him. Nope, they won't get rid of him. I'm just going to do that Richardson? For every player. They're not trading him.
Is he good?
There's a question mark. I think there's the potential's high enough to keep him.
Okay, George, do you think I'm right about Papayannis yet?
What was your evaluation on Papayannis?
That he will never play over 200 minutes on an NBA court.
I have a feeling he won't play over 100 minutes on an NBA court.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight. He's still a Pillsbury Doughboy, though. Like, even though he's lost that weight, he's still just weight. He's not muscle. He's me.
That was, you know, such a ridiculous pick. all right, Ben McLemore.
He's gone. He's a restricted free agent. The Kings aren't going to resign him. I have him paired in a deal.
Hasn't he been okay the last couple of years? Or last couple of games, I guess?
Last couple of games. That's why he's going to be paired in a deal before he starts missing shots and becomes the normal Ben McLemore.
Yeah. Scalabissier.
There's a question mark on who he is. Might as well keep him to find out what he can do.
I like him.
He's all right.
Willie Cauley signed.
You got to keep him now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think
you. You traded away your life savings in DeMarcus Cousins. You better hope Willie Cauley-Stein can be the player that he's showing signs of.
Yeah, well, the thing is, imagine that, you know, Scal and Willie Cauley-Stein were picked by the Spurs, right? And they were sophomores and rookies, respectively. Like, wouldn't you expect them to be really good players? Like, would you expect the Spurs to, like, fully help them actualize their potential?
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think that both of them have, like, huge potential, and I think that you at least have to, you know, like, we're not knocking the Kings for, we're not saying, well, if you wanted to keep the culture good, then you shouldn't have traded Boogie. Like, that's not the discussion. Maybe, I think the locker room culture could be a lot better. That could be an upside of this trade. I think that more likely it's organizational and it starts from the top down. But let's say that things sort of start to turn around as far as, like, player development, whether or not people are checked in, whether or not people are interested in actually playing for the Kings. Like, Scal, Willie Cauley-Stein can be good. Malachi Richardson could be okay. I don't think that he will be a starter. Buddy Hield certainly could be a starter.
Hold on. There's a live reaction to it.
What?
Anthony Davis. I didn't hear the audio. Hold on one second. You're going to hear the audio too.
Sure.
Oh, fuck. Oh, y'all can hear that? Oh, my bad. Sorry.
he's geeked up when he heard that DeMarcus Cousins just got.
Wait, was that like? Was that actually?
Anthony Davis. That was Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but like, was it actually in response to hearing about it?
No, he just sat down, walked with a smile on his face. He goes, "Oh fuck," and then he's like, "Oh, you guys can hear that."
That wasn't no. Like out of context or something.
No, it was probably out of context.
Okay, look, like, Clevis Murray, he is he's verified, first of all, contributor to fan-sided Def Pen Hoops and Sir Charles in Charge. He says, Pistons attempted a deal with Andre Drummond to the Kings for DeMarcus Cousins. King said no. Via Michael Scotto of Basketball Insiders.
Again, it wouldn't surprise me. Kings just want to go young and start over.
I mean, he's pretty young. Drummond's 23, I think.
No, yeah, he is 23. He's young. He's shown that he can be a rebounding monster. He's shown that he can be a talent, but the Sacramento Kings have chosen one thing. To do the wrong thing.
Well, and they're valuing, like, good guys in the locker room over talent. I mean, they should they should pick me up. I'll join the Kings.
Bro, I can swear I can give them a solid 12 minutes a night right now.
I don't think
solid
12 minutes. I don't think you're high culture, dude.
I am a great I'm better than I'm better than Brian Scalabrine on the bench. I am high energy. I'm a better shooter than Scalabrine. Guarantee you that right now. And I have a great left to right between my legs crossover that will make you think I'm good at dribbling. Like, I can do bam one time. You would have thought I played in college. Never did though. Got too bitch of a beer belly, but I was close. Then I hurt my knee.
I think you're the Javaris Crittenden of ABPN.
I don't know who that is.
Dude, but Javaris Crittenden was the guy who got in a standoff with Gilbert Arenas.
Then I probably am that guy. I'd rather be Gilbert Arenas, though, because I'd be counting my money.
Bringing guns into the locker room, man.
Hey, Vince. Hey, but I'd be counting
firing
my money.
Firing off hot takes.
I gave the hottest take here. The Sacramento Kings are the dumbest franchise in NBA and NFL history.
Well, they're, yeah.
As of right now.
They're the dumbest Yeah.
That was current front office, and you have guys like the. Oh, yeah. We gotta hurry. I gotta do another interview here.
Okay. Well, so last couple of things. Who else? You guys got Tyreek Evans. Hey. And you got Langston Galloway. So Tyreek Evans, I think, is. I don't know. Maybe. Langston Garbage. Galloway's nice.
He's going to get waived.
Langston?
Yeah, I've heard reports that he's going to get waived.
Why?
They just know that they're gonna keep Darren Collison and Ty Lawson. They're gonna waive Matt Barnes, see what they can get by the trade deadline, and then most likely waive Langston Galloway. That's the report I'm hearing.
Langston Galloway's like decent.
Yeah, he's like a poor man's Darren Collison. No, I understand. Trust me.
No, but like, there's other people to waive.
Trust me. I know. I'm just telling you what I'm being told.
Okay.
I like. We talked about it. I like Langston. I would have rather had Etuan Moore, but I like Langston. He's all right. He's a poor man's Darren Collison.
Well, Vince, I can tell you that the Almighty Baller team is not planning on trading you.
Thank you. Please don't go behind my back, though.
Yeah. No. I. Although I have been described as the Vlade Divac of podcast network operators, only as a player comparison, not as a front office executive. So my guest today / my host that I have guested with today, Vince Miracle, Kings Court Podcast. I'm Chris Axman. I, like I said, run the AlmightyBaller.com team. That's Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I mean, go listen to Pelicast if you want to hear how the Pelican side of everything feels. There are New Orleans Pelicans podcast, and they are they're feeling pretty good right now. Vince, I hope it's
one word. Describe this trade in one word. Go.
Trash, trash can, fiery, fiery inferno. I don't know.
Mine was garbage, but that's mine.
Trash, garbage, blown.
Garbage.
Absolute, a total mess.
This trade was absolute garbage.
Well, everyone, if you're listening on Almighty Ball and NBA Show, make sure you go subscribe to the King's Court and listen to that last podcast. That's what I'm going to be doing after I get off of the microphone with Vince. I'm going to be listening to that that podcast. So anyways, thanks for listening, everyone. You know, keep following the NBA, and we'll see how this works out for both teams.
Yeah. Oh, eyebrow Boogie Cousins. Let's see if he can make that team good, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah,
for America. At VM Center.
At Almighty Ballin. Until next time.
Bye bye.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.